For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, one of my favorite guests. This is all statistics, no emotion. This is what I love about this. Our man Brent Rollins, B. Rollins, Ph.D. on the Twitter. And you can also see a lot of his work at PFF, Pro Football Focus, or PFF underscore college, Pro Football Focus, and college side of things. Brent's here in Athens, and Russ Tanner, a few weeks ago, turned us on to Brent, and very interesting statistical analysis of a lot of things Georgia, and we do appreciate getting to see a lot of the stuff there. Hey, Brent, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. And sorry I stumbled all over your intro there. Hopefully I threw it out there.
Not enough. Not a problem at all.
Good enough.
All good.
And now, where did you – all right, I know I've asked you this before. Where did you do your undergrad?
I have a – my background is in pharmacy. I'm a pharmacist initially by training, and that was in Ohio.
Okay.
At Ohio Northern University.
Okay.
And my graduate degree, my PhD, is from UGA.
Okay, and what was your degree in at UGA?
Pharmaceutical marketing.
Oh, pharmacy also.
Pharmacy.
Okay. I got you.
Yes, I'm sort of a nerd of all nerds, I guess you could say.
So how did you get into the statistical analysis of college football?
Honestly, it was one of these things where – I followed the site. Peter King, who writes for SI, for Sports Illustrated, had written some sort of in-depth look at the site and what Pro Football Focus was doing. So I think this is my third or fourth season with them. And it was basically an off-season training. And you had to test. You had to pass some tests and watch film, grade, do things, and analyze stuff. And I passed tests, was able to be hired as a part-time worker, and have done it moving forward and sort of continually adding to it each year.
Wow. So was the testing part, like the film watching and stuff, that was part of the test? Or was it what, like when you
yes.
say, you okay, those were, that's what you had to do is
yes.
you had to take tests
yeah.
that way?
It's basically you had to show that you could do stuff and know, and that you knew some basic level of football.
Interesting. So, like, it's kind of like the, what is it, the LSAT, if you're getting ready for law school, or you have to pass this test if you're going to be able to work for these guys. Is that kind of how it is?
Yes. And a lot of it is test of will, just as much as anything, because it's a very, initially, I mean, we've sped up our processes each and every year, but initially it was more so of a grind, a lot of time, a lot of late nights initially. But it was one of those things where, for me, I did it already. I watched the games. I watched football just as much as anyone. And my dad has a coaching background. It's sort of something that if I didn't do what I do, that's what I would probably do. So it's just one of those things where it's fun, and I love it and enjoy it and just keep going with it.
That's awesome. So when you're breaking down a game, how many times do you watch each different play?
That's multiple. It's probably the best way to describe that.
Because, like, if you're breaking down a game and you have to watch each play multiple times, how many different things are you looking for on each play? Like, what is your
basically,
assignment?
Well, we have varying degrees of assignments. And mine initially, especially with Georgia, the analytical side and the analysis side, for me, I focus more so on the NFL. But mine with Georgia relates to basically where is everyone on the field and what are they doing? So we can now give our team clients. We have almost all the NFL teams, and the number of college teams is growing by the day. But basically, we give the team clients typically things that most coaches or most people think of. All right, these are what graduate assistants do late at night or early on a Sunday morning after a game on Saturday in terms of tendency data, and all right, on third and long, are they in this formation? They go to this person 75% of the time. All that we build into databases that then gets sold to team clients.
Wow, that's crazy. So, do you work? You don't have to say, but do you cover one team specifically, college, or one team specifically, pro?
I focus specifically on Georgia in college, and as much as I can when I have time. I do a lot of other things. Like earlier, I did earlier in the season, I did Wyoming, New Mexico. So it's a little bit of everything.
By the way, that's funny you mentioned Wyoming. I had, you know, before the season started, heard a lot about their quarterback, but hadn't really heard much about him. You know, as the season went on, did he have a good year? And how is he looking as far as his draft prospects?
In terms of draft, his draft prospects are more based on his measurables and things that relate to ability, as opposed to a lot of production based things. But he's you know, I've talked to some people. I know I was at game day one weekend. Talked to Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's younger brother, who does a lot of Elite 11 stuff and coaching, and he was extremely high on Allen and Josh Allen, and talked about how much he is going to succeed in the pros, and that he's just in a situation now where there's not a lot of talent around him.
Gotcha. Interesting stuff. All right, let's talk about the Dogs, and let's look back a little bit to Saturday. Can you give us a couple of things that statistically jumped out to you that won that game for Georgia? Or, I mean, was it just one of those games where it was the obvious things that won that game for Georgia on Saturday?
I mean, the interesting thing was, is if you could look at the game from the previous game to now, everything that Auburn dominated in the first game, they did not in the second game. Like, just looking at Jarrett Stidham, without pressure in the first game, he was 14 of 18 for 216 yards, 12 yards an attempt. Against the blitz, 9 of 11, 136 yards. In this versus the championship game, only 95 yards, 14 of 23 without pressure, so 4.1 yards per attempt. He was 8 of 14, 47 yards, so 3.4 yards per attempt against the blitz. So it's total flip. And then the sort of the common denominator there was the amount of times that Georgia blitzed him. They blitzed Auburn more than any opponent the entire season in the first game, and that continued in the championship game. Now, who did the blitzing? That was the what changed, and what you saw was something I think that they've known all along, but they've waited to unleash, is that we all know Roquan Smith is the absolute best player on the field.
Yep.
He's also their best pass rusher. And when he blitzes, he gets to the quarterback. He now has 18 quarterback pressures total, which, by the way, is fourth on the team. So Carter has 29, Bellamy, Ledbetter 21, Tyler Clark 20. So pressures are sacks, hits, and hurries all together. Here's the difference. Roquan's done that in 42 pass rush snaps.
Wow.
So he's actually rushed the passer on 40 and gotten pressure in 18 of those 42.
Wow.
The other guys, 4 to 5 times more pass rush attempts. Now, granted, I get that the blitz and, you know, you're coming possibly as an unblocked player versus someone who's on the line of scrimmage or in line of scrimmage being identified early in the game. But still, if he's going, he's getting to the quarterback.
Well, I know this may sound like a dumb question, but how do you...
No dumb question.
yeah, just dumb people. Yeah. How do you define what a blitz is when you're looking at the film?
It's in terms of numbers. A lot of it is numbers based, just as much as anything.
Okay.
As well as, all right, where they come from, are they? We have different terms. Like, for example, we use a react blitz. Like, a lot of times you'll see a linebacker, right, he's in man coverage on the back. The back stays in the block, so he comes and tries to generate pressure.
Okay, so that's a react blitz.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I was just curious, you know, I know there's different scenarios and what is considered a blitz and what's not, and you know, like I said, I find all that kind of stuff interesting. So would it be safe to say that Georgia needs to employ that kind of defense, or at least put Baker Mayfield in situations where Roquan's coming at him on New Year's Day?
Any situation where Roquan is near the ball, which is often times the case, that is a win-win situation for Georgia's defense.
I was thinking that.
But...
Hey,
Baker's
Brent,
a whole,
that might be
a whole
the
different animal, by the way.
That might be the understatement of the year. Any situation where Roquan is near the ball is good for Georgia.
Because he doesn't miss, and he's really, really good.
Dave, I thought you said this guy's bringing new stuff.
You don't need stats for that.
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, he doesn't miss tackles.
No, two on the season.
Is that it? Two missed tackles?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. That is incredible.
And he's got what we term, one of the things that we have is we term it as a stop. And a stop is sort of a win for a solo tackle. It's a win for the defense where you've put them in, you know, second and long or third and long, that sort of situation. He has 64 stops.
How does that compare to some other players or to other teams as far as stops?
It's one of the tops in the nation.
Gotcha.
He's in the top 10 in the nation in terms of linebackers with that.
Talking with Brent Rollins. He's B. Rollins, Ph.D. on Twitter, and Pro Football Focus and Pro Football Focus College, as we're talking about the Dogs, talking about Auburn, the game coming up with Oklahoma. I know it hasn't been very long. Have you had a chance to kind of delve into the Sooners a little bit? I'm sure you'll probably be doing some of that.
Yes, I have some. I mean, I rewatched their game against Ohio State. I'm originally from West Virginia, so I follow West Virginia football religiously. So I watched their game against West Virginia, and it's just it's one of those things where, as a fan, just as much as the statistical part of it, as a fan of football, this is a great matchup, an absolute just great matchup. The styles, everything about it, because what have we seen in the last 2 years in the college football playoff? The last year, the best player won the game. The best player won the national championship.
Yeah.
And the year before, the best player was, you know, very, very close to winning the national championship because Watson was the best player on the field for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, guess what Baker Mayfield is? He's the best player on the field. And it's statistically his season, which granted, caveat, every, you know, topic of Big 12 defenses and the top pass defenses that he's faced, all that sort of thing. There's lots of variables there, but just looking at the number, the sheer numbers themselves, all of these various metrics that we track, I think one of the things I put on there earlier in the week, we have ranked QBs on tons of various metrics, like against pressure, against the blitz, short throws, deep throws that are over 20 yards. We have two stats that we call big-time throw percentage, you know, where you're putting it in a specific spot, 30 yards down the field type thing, as well as the turnover-worthy throw percentage. He's first, second, or third in everything. There's not a variation in terms of how that works out. And I think in terms of matchups, though, the biggest matchup that UGA is going to have to really and identify and how are they going to cover this individual is much like Hayden Hurst at South Carolina, because he had a very good game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews is basically 6'5", 250, very athletic tight end. And that person, that's the one person where you look at and you say, okay, this guy is maybe different than what we have. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match up. But Oklahoma is obviously a completely different offense in terms of how they run their offense. I think they're, in terms of percentage play action, because of all the RPOs, the run-pass option game that they use, is up near 50% of their throws are play action. And that's in the top five in the nation.
Well, when people say or people ask you, it's like, okay, Georgia's defense versus Oklahoma's offense, that seems to be the focus. But how does it play out when you look at Georgia's offense versus Oklahoma's defense? Because that's a whole different story, isn't it? Because you're talking about two different kinds of offenses.
And you had, very true, and you had a game, you had a championship game where, amazingly, Isaiah Wynn, who has been your best offensive lineman the entire season and was on our all-SEC first team for PFF, he was the lowest graded lineman in the game. Galliard.
Really?
Baker had his best game since Mississippi State. Ben Cleveland, Andrew Thomas had some of their best games in the championship game against Auburn. There was only, I think, four, possibly. Prom was under pressure on four occasions out of the 20-some-odd dropbacks that he had.
So the line, that's interesting. So Wynn, who's had an incredible season, he graded out lowest of the linemen on the in that game against the Tigers.
on our grading system, yes. Yeah. And a lot of it was, I mean, primarily he got torched one time early in the game for a sack. But on the whole, like out of 24 dropbacks, Prom was only under pressure on 4.
How did Auburn use Holland? Did they move? I mean, what did they do with him? Was that who primarily had to deal with him? Because he's been their pressure guy.
Well, he was, and he jumps around, but he's primarily works against the right tackle. So that was Andrew Thomas.
Okay, and Thomas did a good job with him on Saturday.
Yeah,
I love hearing that. I love hearing all of that.
No, he didn't allow quarterback pressure the entire game.
When you have a freshman offensive lineman with those kind of stats and numbers, that future's bright for DeAndre Swift and the boys.
Which is what Britt just said. Holland didn't get a pressure the entire game Saturday.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't realize. That's absolutely insane, especially the success he had the first game getting up in Fromm's face. So that's fantastic.
Hey, Brent, maybe we can...
Which, I mean, the totality of that, I think what you saw in the championship game was a team that had just played 3 straight absolute heavyweight championship bouts, and that bore itself out in the second half as they just the physicality of Georgia took over. I think the freshness of Georgia took over. You could tell Auburn was a beaten team.
Yeah, we're not getting much sympathy out of Athens for those that Auburn
but it
schedule.
Is, you know, it's an excellent point. You play Georgia, Alabama, and play Georgia again. That is a monster.
It's
3 weeks. Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've always wondered. Why did Auburn agree to do the schedule change? Because, they had Auburn and Georgia at home this year.
Yeah.
Next year they go on the road for both of those games every 2 years. So, when that gauntlet gets to that extreme, you would think they would have wanted to keep it, spaced out that way.
Yeah. That's true. It really is. I was going to say, Brent, great stuff. Maybe we can catch you again before the bowl game and get some your opinion.
Wait, that's not just a bowl game. Come on now.
Yeah.
The college football playoff.
That's right. Oh, yeah, they do call it the Rose Bowl. Yeah. You're right. The semifinal, excuse me. Maybe you can give us your opinion on some of some key matchups that are coming up, because now you got me scared, because I had looked at Mark Andrews and now the Hayden Hurst comparison, because Hurst is so good. And I guess Andrews isn't a late bloomer. I mean, he was a guy coming out of high school that was very, very highly recruited, and he's a big part of their offense. So, yeah, I'd like to hear some of that that other stuff from you when you can get it.
So much stuff, so many angles and so many details to this game. Just one little random thing. Mayfield, in terms of we track how often or how long in terms of time to where you throw, time to where you take a sack, time to when you actually scramble. So you're moving around and then you finally decide to run. Everything of that is clocked. He's the longest in terms of before he scrambles in the nation by far.
Wow.
Like at 7.2 seconds. So he's running around twice as long as, 2-3 seconds longer than probably average and the rest of the nation in terms of heat. So he's moving around to hurt you down the field.
Do you have a number for Fromm on that? Just out of, I mean, I know it's different.
His is about 5 seconds, right? About 5 seconds before he actually scrambles.
Right.
But in terms of just overall time to throw, Jake is about 2.5 seconds on average. Baker Mayfield is a little over 3 seconds.
And 3 seconds is an eternity when you're trying to cover these guys.
Yes.
Interesting.
And so you more than double that. So he's scrambling around, and still making plays on you.
Great stuff, Brent. Thank you so much, and we will definitely have you back on again before the not bowl game, but college football playoff semifinal.
There you go.
The semifinal game.
Good stuff. Anyone listening that wants to see your on the obviously on Twitter, B Rollins PhD. Where's the best place to go and get a lot of this statistical analysis?
The @PFF_college does sort of graphical snippets all day long of various pieces. They have each conference, all American teams, all those very all the quarterback stats. Looking at, for example, Nick Chubb forced 53 missed tackles this season, which is more than he had, I think, in his career.
Wow!
In any other season. So those just great stats, great sort of all encompassing of everything that we got.
Hey, by the way, as a stats guy, computer guy, if we still had the BCS, it would be Clemson and Georgia. Would you guys agree with that?
in terms of our overall, just how we our raw grades, I think not.
Okay.
Actually,
okay. Just out of curiosity, yeah. Who do you know? Would it be?
I think in terms of overall grades, I think Alabama may have been first.
Makes sense. So it may have been Alabama, Clemson.
Because that's raw. I mean, and remember, that's raw grades. That's not corrected for anything. That's just how great they are individually.
Right. I gotcha. I love those kind of angles. I'm just always curious about that.
Yeah. Brent, in our raw grades, we had Alabama 1, Oklahoma 2, Georgia was 4.
Who was 3? I guess Clemson?
No, actually Ohio State.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So, see, y'all had an Alabama ahead of Ohio State just like the committee did.
Yes, we did.
Hey, thanks so much, Brent.
You're very welcome.
Okay,
you guys have a great day.
Great stuff.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.